With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Andrea Simontov, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
You sound a lot like the voices in my head.
I'm great. Sometimes I'm having like crazy things going on with this computer, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to bring it into a computer place in Joburg, which frankly I've done before several times. I know all of them.
Okay, good. How's it going?
It's okay. You know, leaving Israel is very, very hard for me. I'm very torn. I spent 3 weeks in America, and that was not hard for me because I couldn't wait to get back.
Yes.
But I'm torn because a lot of my heart is in Joburg, and which goes against a lot of my Zionist politics. But I'm very much at home there, and I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward particularly to Shabbos. I love Shabbos in Joburg. There's nothing like it.
That is such an interesting take from somebody who's not really religious, Andrea, that you see this community with those eyes, being warm and committed and safe and, you know, all those things, because we live here behind our walls, and we live kind of
the South African Jewish community is known throughout the world, throughout the Jewish world, for being special, just like South Africans in general are known throughout the world for being special.
I don't want to do us down, but is that just not Jewish communities wherever you are in the world?
No.
Kathy's right. She's got, wait, I just need to clarify that. Wait, who's not real? You're not really religious, or I'm not really religious?
No. Nobody accused you of that at all. Me.
I'm violently religious.
We know that. And Kathy, yeah, now we would leave the jihadi alone here.
My kids listen to this show.
No, I know.
It's you're absolutely, that one, you know, the Joburg community is absolutely, and look, I hate uniforms. You know, the uniforms bother me. The uniform, you know, the Borsellino hats, and, you know, and I have people in my family that wear their hats. The wigs, I occasionally wear a wig. The tichels, the scars. I just hate the obsessive, what I often think is uniform in place of deep faith and deep connectedness to God. Having said that, the people in the Johannesburg Jewish community, with or without their uniforms, seem to be part of something. They seem to be really the embodiment of what I think was, as we stood together shoulder to shoulder at the foot of Sinai. I mean, this whole parsha. You didn't invite me on. You have great rabbis down there. One day we'll talk of this parsha. Absolutely, is the embodiment of this community. I mean, we had the Kodesh of the drinking. We had the Kodesh of the clothing. We had the Kodesh of the protectiveness. And Johannesburg, everybody knows it's Shabbos. Even if they're going out, even if they're going to a ball game, even if they're making the L'chaim and running off to the bar, every Jew in Johannesburg, in my opinion, don't correct me on this, knows it's Shabbos.
Well, that is interesting. I also wonder if it isn't our almost singular Lithuanian background that hasn't created a cohesiveness that maybe other communities don't have. Are they as uniform as we are?
I came back from the States, and you go to shul and there's a vibe and everybody's there and everybody says good Shabbos. There's a warmth that if you guys could bottle, I mean, we really would solve a lot of the problems.
Andrea, can I tell you where I think that comes from? And it is hugely controversial. Apartheid. I think that apartheid in this country kept the Jews cohesive in a way that we would not have if there had not been apartheid.
I won't argue with you on that because, whisper, whisper, it served an incredible purpose because all of us in Galut live in what is referred to as Olam HaGoyim, the world of the nations. Having said that, in South Africa, Olam HaGoyim is so starkly different that the Jewish identity, in my opinion, very much hung on the shoulders. It's very easy to assimilate when your neighbors are Italian and Irish and look like you and are struggling in the same immigrant experience. The Jews in South Africa, Kathy, we're on the same page.
But I think you
were
meaning something else, Kathy. Right, you were implying that because we thought taught to think in groups,
Yes,
that had a positive effect on Jewish identity. Because,
well, I don't know if it was positive or negative, because what it did was it kept us, you know, where there's no real separation in this country, aside from the observances, but we don't look down on one another, whether you're conservative and reform, or whether you Ashkenaz or Sfarad. We don't have the same barriers.
That it was a Jewish page. It really was.
And there's another thing, Andrea, is that the apartheid government were going, it's actually in the archive downstairs in this building where we are, the apartheid government were going to classify Jews as people of color. But they needed the numbers, and that is how Jews got to be classified as white. Did you know that, Simon?
No, I didn't know that, although that makes some kind of sense to me.
Yep. True story.
Don't have this discussion with my husband. Because my South African husband, whenever I say to him, I say, you know, I don't really think we're white. You know, I do the math. I said, I don't know. I'm doing our history. I'm looking. I don't understand how we get classified as white. And that's like a blank subject to that Litvak, you know, throws up his arms. He thinks he's Joe Yankee Doodle Dandy with his South African accent. So, you know.
Yeah, listen, during apartheid, I mean, there was a test that put a pencil in your hair. If the pencil fell out. You were considered white.
What are you both telling me? I mean, when I had that guest coming from the UK who was very kosher and I needed to arrange a Shabbat dinner for him, you gave me the number of Rabbi Kiefman. I phoned him. I was so embarrassed.
Wasn't
I didn't
amazing?
Know how to begin the conversation because how can I ask him to invite somebody for Shabbat? And before I could even get the words out of my mouth, the invitation was on the table.
Rabbi Kiefman's an exceptional human being. Let's just put that out there.
So I don't know, because I just assume that's how most rabbis in this town would probably react.
A lot, but not all. But Rabbi Ari Kiefman from Santon,
Soul something. What?
No,
happiness,
no, no.
Goodness.
It's the Goodness and Kindness Center and in Santon. It's right by the Gau train station. He's just an exceptional, he and his wife are just exceptional human beings. I'm just putting it out there. Not every rabbi would.
Although, can I just throw this out? I mean, as a frequent visitor, a half inhabitant of the Glen Hazel, Sandringham, and Sydenham neighborhoods, I cannot get over the Hachnasas Orchim, the welcoming of guests, the outreach, putting children in crazy rooms. I've seen enormous. I mean, there may be rabbis who are not that outgoing and more protective of, say, their personal Dalet Amos, their four rooms. I haven't seen it. That community is just bending over backwards.
That is true. That is
I'm
true.
Looking forward to meeting Rabbi Kiefman. I'm going to make it my business.
Very good.
Listen, I think next week I'm coming in to visit you, like it or not.
We like it. We like it a lot.
Kathy, let me get a pep in the voice. Oh, please, Andrea. I didn't know how to get you to say it.
Oh, please, Andrea. Oh, please. Please. Andrea, listen. That's where we leave it this week.
Simon and I, it's like a dating site. You know, it's like we've been communicating back and forth, but now it's like, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening. You're going to get a real face and all. Travel safely, and we can't wait to have you. It'll be awesome to have you in studio.
Looking forward, I'll wave to you from Ethiopia, and then I'm on my way. Okay.
Oh, really? That's nice. Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Shabbat shalom, guys.
Shabbat shalom.
See you soon.
God bless. Bye-bye.